This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. 305 DGS. Two of my favorite people right now, we have Megan McBride and Ryan Recker from the St. Louis Talks. Hello, Megan.
Hello.
Man, it's been a long time. How was COVID?
You know, it was a long time. It's very nice to talk to you again.
You too. How's the baby?
She's great, man. She's a year and a half, walking, wild. So we're having a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. Good to talk to you again. Ryan, how are you? How's the change in your life?
Good. I was just in the studio an hour ago. Now I'm sitting in a different chair, so everything feels different from here.
Yeah. Megan, do you know Ryan?
I don't think so, no.
No, I don't think we've ever actually met, but we're going to have to do that at some point.
Yeah, for sure. You should have her on the show. Okay, so let's talk. I just had Senator Jim Talon on at 2:30, who I think the world of. I wish he were president. I think he's such a reasonable, moderate guy. And when I asked him about Liz Cheney, what's going on, he said basically, and Rachel and Tony, correct me if you heard it a different way, he said basically, hey, it's okay to have those opinions, that you don't like the former president, you don't think that the election was stolen, but you have to be more artful in the way you say them if you're going to be in leadership.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know, it certainly seems like a litmus test to me that if you're going to be in leadership in the Republican Party, you have to support Trump and you have to believe the election was stolen or at least say it. And he said, I think it's more just about the way she was. You're saying it too much. Mm. Your thoughts, Ryan?
Well, so I tried to come up with this analogy, and I think if anyone working in the corporate world, it's like if you're a manager and you trash talk the CEO of your company, maybe they don't want you to be a manager. Like, there could be people that you work with that agree with you and they'd be like, oh, that's right on, we need to make these changes. But if you were to go out there and just say all of these nasty, well, not nasty, but, you know, things that are not complimentary, and you're in a leadership position, you're talking about the leader of your party at the same time, then maybe the management position's not for you. And I think that's what they're realizing. They're realizing that maybe if you're trying to bring Republicans together, trying to further divide them on something like this isn't what you're, it's not the point of what the party needs to be doing at that point.
But what if the CEO is no longer the CEO?
Yeah, he's still it seems like he's still the leader of a party in the way. Even though he's not the president anymore, he's still someone that drives so much force behind everything he says and people he puts his endorsement behind. It's so hard to look at him and not believe he still has a lot of power in the party.
Megan, your thoughts?
I mean, as a Democrat, I think it's really interesting that they are pushing out folks who actually may be able to expand what I would consider the current base of the Republican Party. I mean, Trump right now has a favorability of about 39%. You don't win elections by pushing out everybody who believes in reality and fact and only honing in on the people who are going to continue to carry the big lie and toe the line with Trump. You're not going to expand your voter base. So as a Democrat, I mean, I think it's interesting that politically they're choosing to double down. I think as an American, it's just really sad because she's not actually saying anything nasty. She's not bashing him as a person. She's speaking truth to reality. And the Republican Party does not want to accept reality. And it's going to be very challenging for them moving forward politically to find people who want to join in on that message.
Yeah, Megan brings up an interesting point. I saw that Mitt Romney said that by pushing Liz Cheney out, you're not going to gain one single vote, but you're going to lose quite a few. Do you agree with that, Ryan?
I think there's that term, the Never Trumpers. I feel like that's who you probably would be, I don't know, I wouldn't say pandering to, but I don't know how many people that supported Donald Trump during the last election would be pushed away by that. And there was a lot of people that voted for Donald Trump in the last election, you know, 70 some million people. So I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I think this might be overblown a little bit. I don't see a lot of people looking at Liz Cheney and saying that she was going to be the long-term future for the party, or someone that they were going to take their cues off of, or someone that would be a major endorsement in the future. I kind of look at this more as some of the people that have criticized Donald Trump in the past, and then they just kind of fade away after a while. It seems like it could be one of those situations.
Yeah, I've never been a Republican. I've never been a Democrat. I've never been anything, because I'm kind of allergic to that kind of thing. I'm not a big joiner, but I do not feel welcome at all in the Republican Party. Mm. And when I was on the air at 97.1, I did not feel welcome at all by the Trump people. Mm. They were very, very upfront with, we would like you to leave now, because I would say, hey, if the election was stolen, that's awful. Let's reverse it. Show me. And other than Mike Lindell putting on, you know, telethons, that's really all I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen anything more than that?
What, for the reversals? I feel when you look at the individual cases where they tried to uncover some evidence and there's some resistance, that's not necessarily evidence that there is evidence. All it shows is that there are still people trying to fight for it. And I don't think that there was enough to overturn it. I do believe the best play that Donald Trump could have done at the time would have said, we're going to continue the fight, but, you know, we're going to step aside, but we're going to keep the fight. He didn't do that. So that, I think, caused a lot of strife. And he's a controversial figure to begin with. It's either you're for me or you're against me 100% on both sides. So he's not someone that's ever really, I think, unified anyone. So even inside of the own party, if you're against him, you're going to be someone that's ostracized in that sense. So I look at those things, and I look at the January 6th, and I look at the election, I look at all of these things. You can have your certain opinions on it, and I think a lot of Republicans have, and they've maybe expressed them quietly. But when it's just the leadership position, if you're someone that's going to stand there as the head of the party, and you're going to say something bad about someone that was the head of the party, that's not going to be, you're not going to make friends that way.
What if you believe the head of the party did something awful, though?
As in?
The whole, you know, the election was stolen, and January 6th, yeah. And
saying something wrong, saying something that is untrue. So I think if Donald Trump would have came at it with a softer tone, and maybe we're talking about tones of managers or whatever, he could have done himself a lot of good by coming at January 6th or even the election at a more, we need to investigate this more tone, as opposed to I was just cheated tone. And I think that's where a lot of people were turned off by it. I feel if you were to just look at it and say, there's a lot that we haven't uncovered, we want to uncover it, we need to find truth in this, that wasn't the tone he took. But, I don't know. Even if you are against Donald Trump, and as a manager, it's just hard to look at that and say that's the position the party wants. They want someone that's constantly going to be criticizing the person that's the leadership. And that's a difficult thing to do, because then it seems like you're backstabbing your party.
Do you think that the Liz Cheneys and the Mitt Romneys and the Kinzingers of the world are not long for the political world? That there's just no place for them now in the Republican Party?
I think that you're going to turn off a lot of supporters, so you're just dividing yourself even further. And even with Liz Cheney, I think there was, 7 people that have already said they're going to try to run up against her as a Republican, so she's going to have a lot of opposition. And when you're just diluting that, there's going to be someone else that could be the front runner there. So you opened up the door for that to happen, a lot of competition, and I think that's going to happen to a lot of them. I think there's going to be a lot of competition that comes up.
So, Megan, given what you do for a living and strategizing for the Democrat Party, in this case, seeing the schism in the Republican Party, do you think the smartest thing for you guys is just to kind of lay low and let them implode, or do you attack and try to wedge?
Well, I don't think you have to attack to try to wedge. They're wedging themselves. I mean, it's kind of amazing to watch two people who are about as traditional Republican as you can be, with Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney. Their own party is acting as if, you know, they're on the fringes of normal America. So I think as Democrats, it's looking, watching, and saying, you know, you don't have to pass a litmus test if you want to vote for us, if you want to be part of our caucus. You know, we allow a diversity of opinions, specifically when the opinion is just fact, and that this did happen on January 6th. The president was responsible, and they want to uphold the Constitution. I mean, it still blows my mind that we're talking about a Republican Party who sides with an individual over our democracy. And that is what they have decided. That is what their position is now. They are the party of Trump. It is not going away. They aren't really Republicans anymore.
Megan, what have you thought of the first 150 or so days of the Biden administration?
You know, I've just enjoyed it so much because I do not wake up and immediately turn on the news every single day. I know there's an adult in the White House. Things are happening. The vaccine is out there. It feels like we're getting back to normal. I think having no drama is excellent. And obviously, a lot of Americans agree because Biden's approval rating just continues to go up. I think people are comforted by knowing there's a serious person who's focused on getting the job done, and we're not dealing with all of the nonsense that we were having every day in the press during the Trump presidency.
So I know the Democrat Party is obviously made up of tens of millions of people, but has the administration and leadership done anything yet that made you cringe a little bit? Like, oh man, I wish you'd pull back a little bit on that.
For me, no, not yet. I'm also, though, not the type of Democrat who's watching every little thing and trying to find something to be angry about. I like to see progress. I like to see things get done. And I think that's what the Biden administration has done so far.
So let's go back at the beginning of the show. We were talking about vaccinations and pretty much everyone saying it doesn't look like we're going to reach herd immunity. I know basically what that means. I don't know technically what that means. There's about a third of the country that says they're not going to get vaccinated under any circumstance. And we were talking about how far we should go to incentivize, shame, cajole, force. Ryan, what do you think about this?
About the herd immunity side or
yeah, just people who aren't vaccinated yet, we just say, okay, up to you, go with God, or do you try to manipulate?
Yeah, I think that you can't really manipulate. So I don't know what you would do to be able to convince people that didn't want it other than the FDA coming out and saying, we are 100% sure this is safe now. And I think that'll be the turning point for a lot of people that have been hesitant to begin with. And there's still a pretty large part of the population that are not receiving it for whatever purpose. And I think they're getting clumped in with all of the others. So I'll use my wife for an example. So we just had a child in August. She's still nursing. And she said, well, I don't feel comfortable getting the vaccine while we're nursing because we just don't know what's going to be passed on to an 8-month-old child. And I said, totally understandable. Now you're getting clumped in with everyone else. That makes it look like they're doing it for some political reason or whatever reason. So I feel even though we're not going to hit herd immunity, there's still opportunities for a lot of people in the future when the FDA fully says this is okay as opposed to being an emergency use and all these other things, you know, whatever circumstance in people's personal lives, I think it'll happen. But since we're not hitting it July 4th, I wouldn't be concerned.
Megan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there are a lot of people who have a specific reason. I also think the folks who just aren't getting it because they don't trust government, they think 5G is being injected in them. You know, that's what we get for really allowing the country as a general message to embrace conspiracy theory, to not shut down things that we know are fundamentally untrue and kind of force the narrative to be based in fact and reality. So I'm not shocked by any of it. I did read a hilarious article where a woman finally decided to get the vaccine because her aunt would pay for her to go to Vegas if she was vaccinated. So maybe we just need to cajole people in that way and incentivize and give people what they want.
Megan, thanks for being on. It's so great to talk to you again. Do you want people to find you? And if so, where do they?
I am on Twitter at MegShack.
Very good. And Ryan, congratulations.
Yeah.
After a couple of weeks on the midday show, things going well so far?
Great. I just want people to listen to St. Louis Talks if they haven't given it a shot yet. That's what I want people to do.
And that, you tell all about
yeah,
the show?
From 11 until 2, right before your show here, Dave Glover. So we're on during the day. We do a video on our St. Louis Talks Facebook page so people can actually watch us if they want to, which is kind of a nifty thing to do. But if they haven't given us a shot yet, just give us a day. Give us a couple days.
Meg, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
324 DGS. Coming up, we have Dave Murray, John Rooney, Kevin Wheeler, Paranormal Tuesday at 5 p.m. Tone, we got?
I am. I'm more interested in this Tim Tebow story than I thought I was going to be. I feel like Tim Tebow, it kind of got a raw deal. He wasn't that bad. He had a winning record. He won a playoff game. He had one season. He had a winning record. Took the team to the playoffs. Won a playoff game that they weren't supposed to win. Any other quarterback does that, they're getting a second chance. they're certainly getting a second chance and kind of prove themselves. I've always found it very interesting, the Tim Tebow
saga. Can I tell
you
something?
Yes.
I've told you this before off the air. Mm-hmm. One time, Bulger and I, he was retired, I think, or about to. And or maybe it was before he went to the Ravens. But he got a text from the Broncos coach. and it said, hey, look, we both know Tim Tebow is not a pro quarterback. Like, trying to get him to come.
Yeah.
And I was just like, holy crap. Yeah. Like, this is cool.
Well, it's kind of like that, you know, like, we were talking with Kevin Wheeler about how the games have changed so much that everything is a science now. And like, by all the stats, Tim Tebow is not a good quarterback. He doesn't have the strong arm. He throws the ball kind of weird with that sidearm delivery. You know, he's more of a runner than he is a passer. So, like, it's like they just don't know how to coach that anymore. It's like, well, he doesn't do the things he's supposed to do, but he always found a way to win. So you'd think that would mean something.
I've always thought that pro sports were the ultimate, we don't care. We don't care if you're gay. We don't care what color you are. We don't care anything. Can you win? You think I'm wrong?
Yeah. I think it used to be that. I don't know that can you win? I don't know that you are able to prove that anymore like you used to be able to. Like some people are just winners. They just find a way to win. It looks ugly. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Exactly like
it's,
me.
You know, it sometimes
Tim Tebow
it's messy.
DGS.
He just wins. He has a weird delivery.
Yeah. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it doesn't look the way that we're used to it looking, but at the end,
give me a win.
There's a win, but yeah, with the way that sports are like so regimented today that, you know, you got to have this strong of an arm. You got to be able to run this fast. You got to be able to jump this high or you're not going. And that just like intangible winning thing is just not there anymore. That was not what I meant to do with this segment. But
yeah,
you're
really emotional about Tim Tebow.
I'm more fascinated by this Tim Tebow story than I thought.
He was crying on the break.
What was the issue? He didn't impress Belichick in training camp, and that's why his career ended?
He's just not a traditional quarterback. He doesn't look – he doesn't throw the ball – he doesn't have a strong arm. He throws the ball weird. He doesn't play like –
he's just misunderstood.
Yeah.
Like Clifford, the big red dog.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Bezos is building a yacht.
Oh my gosh, I saw this.
You know, and that guy needs a break. I'm happy for him.
If some people may think it's impossible to have too much money, but this is a sign that maybe it is possible. Jeff Bezos is building a yacht, and the yacht has its own support yacht.
Sure.
The main yacht will be 420 feet long.
What is he, poor? Of course he has a support yacht.
$500 million. And it will have a support yacht. Mostly, one of the reasons is because the main yacht doesn't have a helipad.
Duh.
So that will not do.
This is a yacht on a yacht?
It's a support.
Behind a yacht.
Yes.
It chases the regular yacht.
Support yacht.
Kind of like a spare tire, but a yacht.
For the main yacht.
Yeah. I saw that and I spit my coffee out. That's amazing. Amazing.
Amazing.
For most people, if you get a speedboat, that's pretty cool. If you get a yacht, shut up.
420-foot, $500 million yacht. And then
the support yacht.
And then a support yacht after that.
Sleep well, Bezos.
She's touch, smell, sight, taste, and sound.
You guys like this song?
I love Megadeth.
But somehow I can't believe that anything should happen.
Let's just play this.
Right near the river.
Best station ever.
What was the song you played last break?
Hold on, let me go back here. Yeah, it's by Tonic. I think that's the name
of
the band.
That's it. Yep. Yep. That's a great song.
We have the best song of any talk show ever.
We have the best song?
The best music.
Mm-hmm.
Got headlines?
And the Dave Glover Show theme song.
Which is?
I don't know. Just
a couple songs about it. There are at least two Dave Glover songs.
Are there?
Jimmy
and
yes,
Kelly Wilde.
Yes.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Get the best quality at a great low price. Just look for the red tags at Schnucks. Okay, so I've told you guys that Facebook is trying to develop Instagram for kids. Mm. So Instagram for children 13 years old and younger. Well, dozens of state attorneys general have gotten together and they're lobbying to Facebook and saying, please get rid of this.
It seems like the jewel of digital.
Oh, much worse than that could have ever be. I mean, we talk about the mental health issues that kids in this country face. And yesterday we spent so much time talking about how harmful social media is for our society in general. the last thing we should be trying to do is get children hooked on this sort of thing earlier than 13 years old. I mean, it just feels insane that Facebook is even trying to go down that path. They should be ashamed of themselves.
What have you heard anything? What is their case?
Well, the kids want to be on Instagram. My niece Catherine is 7, and she knows her way around her mom's iPhone and will get on Snapchat. I know she wants a phone because she sees older kids with them, and she sees her mom and her mom's friends, and they get to do the cute filters and they get to post selfies, and it seems like nothing but fun to these kids. So they want to be involved, but Instagram is kind of a scary place for children because children shouldn't be on it. So they want to make Instagram for kids where there would be this age cutoff point and you would never be able to message a child. They would have to message you first. So they're trying to sell it as, yeah, it's for kids, but it's really, really safe for them. When the reality is, even if you make it safe against predators or physical harm, psychologically, it's pretty much never going to be safe for a child.
Yeah. Yeah. The playground isn't safe for kids without someone there to kind of monitor
right.
them.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's the benefit? Get them hooked early?
Yeah, the benefit is Facebook making more money.
Well, yeah, but they can't really. You can market to kids. Of course, you can market to kids. But, you know, usually when something like this is launched, it's all about, you know, like hitting the right demographic that can spend the most money. And but I don't know. I know there is money to be made there, but it doesn't seem like the money demo, except that you hook them early and you have them for life.
Well, and
part
and
of your platform forever.
I don't think either of you have Instagram. And mm-mm. If you are, you better be friends with me. I've never seen you on there. But I mean, the Instagram ads, the targeted ads are great. I've found a lot of things on Instagram that I'm like, wow, this seems like something I would really like. And I end up clicking and I've ended up ordering a couple of things. It's the same thing as commercials that run during cartoons on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
They're going to just have those ads for kids, and kids are going to want these specific things for their birthday and for Christmas. So they're going to be able to do targeted ads to children, which is really, really murky when it gets into social media and YouTube and stuff. They don't have quite as stringent of laws for advertising to children as it is on like television. The whole thing's just really scary. And now a bunch of state attorneys general are writing to Facebook and telling them, please stop.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, next thing you know, you're standing in a Walgreens, your last $100 buying a Roblox gift card.
I just hope that the backlash is more than just state's attorneys. I hope that,
I hope that parents don't let their kids do it. If it's allowed to continue, I hope that most parents have the common sense to not let their children on that platform.
Or at least monitor them.
Yeah.
So, Rach, I think you're going to be
thoroughly
a good parent, but much more of a hard ass than I have been. If you had a child now, what would be your age where you would give them a phone and to let them on platforms?
I'd probably get them a phone at like 10 or 12 because that's when they could really use it. I mean, that's probably when you really start going to sleepovers and stuff, and I would want them to be able to get a hold of me. As far as social media platforms, maybe they would be able to have a private account that was for literally family members. But I don't think, if I had kids, I don't think they're on social media till they're 15, 16 years old.
Good for you.
It's just really bad for their mental health. I mean, I'm very thankful that I missed that growing up. And it wasn't introduced to me till I was older.
I'm very thankful that I'm missing it now.
So the Kansas City Chiefs are going full capacity for the 2021 season at Arrowhead Stadium. You can hear the Chiefs games here on KMOX.
Okay, I promise this is the last thing I'm going to say about this. If they said only vaccinated people, like if they tied anything to vaccinations, would you guys be happy with it? Or would you feel like that's overreach? Like, we have a section for vaccinated people. You don't have to wear a mask and you get free nachos.
A section?
Or
heck
the stadium.
Yeah.
Whatever you're comfortable with. Where's your gag point?
I'm not great with keeping all unvaccinated people out of public spaces. But if I can go and prove that I'm vaccinated and that means I don't have to wear a mask when I'm outdoors in the stadium, heck yeah. I think that's fair.
I think that's it. I think that's a great way to handle it.
Yeah, and what about people who are not vaccinated who say, hey, this is crap. What am I, a second-class citizen?
No, well, you're not vaccinated. You're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're out. It's outside. So chances are, you know, we've learned that the spread of it outdoors is very, very small. And yeah, I want people to get vaccinations, but I have a very short rope when it comes to government getting involved and things like that. I wouldn't be for like
the private industry. What if a restaurant said vaccinated only?
Any store that wants to do that, it's okay with me.
That's the risk they want to take with their business. And I mean, I think they would probably know their customers and know that they're probably dealing with a certain type of demographic, you know. And there are restaurants out there now and places without mask mandates that say you can't wear a mask in here. Yeah. We're going to kick you out. And that's their prerogative. They're driving off a certain segment of the population when they do that, but that's their choice.
Yeah. So I'm fully vaccinated like everybody here is. And if I see a sign on a window going into a store that you have to have your mask, doesn't bother me one bit. If I see the people, if I don't see that sign and I see people in there are not wearing them, I put my mask in my pocket and I'm happy both ways.
One more COVID restriction thing. Well, actually, they're getting rid of some restrictions at Walt Disney World and Universal Studios. They're ending the temperature checks for guests. You still have to wear a mask and you still have to distance, but they're not taking your temperature anymore.
I'm fascinated how many times across the board has someone gone into a place and they take your temperature and they've gone, wait a minute, right? I'm really curious about that. Hold on. You've got 101 temperature. You should get checked. And then you found out you have COVID.
You're terribly feverish and you're still trying to go on Splash Mountain or whatever.
Right. I just wonder, because I've had my temperature taken at a bunch of places, and of course I've never had a fever, but I just wonder how many times someone has, and they're like, you can't come in.
I saw it at Disney World.
Did you?
Yeah, it wasn't at the resort. It was at Disney Springs, which is the big shopping mall. But yeah, a lady, I guess, had too high of a fever. And they said, you can't come in. And she put up a little bit of a fight, but it didn't get like crazy or anything, but they didn't let her in.
She was too weak from the fever.
Everywhere we went, I know you're the same way. Like every time we saw the temperature check people and we're walking towards them, even though I know I'm not sick, I don't
get nervous.
Yeah. And I know the kids aren't. You're like, you get that feeling of relief. Like,
kids, rub some ice on your heads.
Yeah. I worry about that too. I'm bald. There's my head, like,
nothing to worry
takes
about.
Takes in the heat.
Yeah, but.
Gotta love the go-getters that we have here at Odyssey. We have that spot that runs every single friggin' day where. At first, they slowed it way down and started talking like the Hoffman Brothers conditioner. And I'm like, okay, you tell them to take that out of the stack. So what they did is they sped it up where I just sound a little less drunk, but now they do electricity.
Yeah, they took you from like 0.25 to 0.5.
Right. Is it that hard to just, I offered, I will recut it.
Yeah.
I'll recut it now. Nah, we're good. People like drunkards doing lives for Hoffman Brothers.
You were 50% slowed down. Now you're just 75 or 25% slowed down.
So to kind of follow up on what we were talking about earlier in the show, as far as unemployment benefits and people not wanting to go back to work right now, looks like Governor Mike Parson, and Michael Calhoun's been covering this, obviously, but Governor Mike Parson is ending all federal pandemic-related unemployment benefits coming up in June because... we need to address workforce shortages across the state.
This is the way things are supposed to work. I'm a big states' rights guy, and I'm not smart enough to back that up with a whole lot of examples. But I like the fact that something is happening.
Keeps the federal government out of your business.
From the federal, you know, I mean, let's face it. Parson is saying, thank you for your money, but no. And a lot of people who would get these benefits are going to be pissed and say, I wish I lived in another state like Illinois where they'll take anything that they give you. But look, we got a problem. We don't have enough people working. We have too many job openings. What a crazy place to be in your economy when you'd have more jobs than people to take them.
The governor, here's a quote from the governor. From conversations with business owners across the state, we know that they are struggling not because of COVID-19, but because of labor shortages resulting from these excessive federal unemployment programs. While these benefits provided supplementary financial assistance during the height of COVID-19, They were intended to be temporary, and their continuation has instead worsened the workforce issues we are, has worsened the workforce issues we are facing.
See, this is the difference to me between talk and action. President Biden, God love him, said in his own kind of stumbly mumbly way, hey, if you have a suitable job, you got to take it. You're going to lose your benefits. That means exactly nothing.
Yep.
Governor Parson, on the other hand, said, we're done.
Yep. Yep. And Governor Parson, there will be a group of people that think this is a really good move and a group of people that will think it's a very bad move.
Cruel.
But it's, we'll disagree with it. But it's leadership. Agree or disagree, it's a form of leadership. The president just floats things out there and it lets you interpret it any way you want. And like, oh, if it sounds good to you, then it sounds good to me.
You know how we've been saying, like, what the hell is going on in India? This is not what's going on in India, but it's something that's going on in India. The government has had to officially come out. It's a big enough problem. It's not like one guy saying, hey, you should stop that. The government has had to come out and tell people to stop rubbing cow poop all over their bodies.
What is that supposed to do?
Cure them.
Oh, man.
Yes. And there are pictures. I would suggest not looking them up. Dave, did you see them?
You know, I didn't mean to print that out when I was reading that story earlier, but it's kind of unfortunate to look
at that. Wasn't the president?
Here you go.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It just seems like.
So there are enough people doing this. Rubbing cow poop all over their bodies, that the government had to say, you know what doesn't work? Cow poop.
Remember when the president of the Philippines said drinking gasoline does it?
This is the weirdest time to be alive. Like, misinformation.
It's a weird time.
Misinformation takes on many, many forms, but at least we haven't quite reached the cow poop form over here in the United States. But man, India's going through enough right now without walking down the street and seeing someone covered in cow droppings. This is just insane.
I don't like the way our country's going, and I don't like the trajectory, but I'm glad I'm here.
I was just saying the same thing. For all the people that say that this country is so terrible, and it's one of the worst country on earth, and we've got...
Yeah.
Look, we've
Take a gander at these pictures.
We've got problems. No doubt about it. And we've got serious problems, and we need to address them. But...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.